Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. All right.
Wonderful. We have Matthew, Sylvia, and myself, Cindy, so far. Dana couldn't make it today, but she sent a nice article. So we will read her article soon. I hope everybody had a great week, and I certainly did. I went to a pumpkin patch place and got a pumpkin, which is very cute. I love the fall, like we were talking last week, how the fall events are here and, you know, take advantage of it. So definitely do that. Hopefully we can all go. So what is that, Matthew, in your background? It looks like an evil guy.
I'm not sure. Let me see. I'm just going to lay down and find out.
Okay.
Is it one of those, what do you call it? The bit comic? Is that what it was called?
Honestly, I don't know. It was just there in the background. So I'm like, okay, it's something different than pizza today. But I kind of want pizza again.
Yeah, okay, great. Does anybody have anything to share? Any good news? That's all we are about. Good, positive news.
Sylvia goes first because I have to set it up anyway.
All right. Okay. So the good news I have is Prince William is launching a £50 million prize to repair the earth. But it's not 50 million in one shot. It's 50 million through the span of 10 years. So that equates to it's five rewards a year for 1 million per recipient, and they call it the Earthshot Prize. So his goal is to save the planet by 2030. Isn't that great? He modeled it after the Earthshot off of the Moonshot plan by John F. Kennedy. He really wanted to send someone on the moon, and he got almost the whole world following. I don't know if he did the same thing, but the Earthshot Prize, let's see what it does here. They just started the website 2020. There are five categories here. So you can be a recipient of a £1 million, which roughly equals $1.2 million a year, if you find a solution to fix the climate, find a solution to build a waste-free world, revive the oceans, clean out the air, and protect and restore nature. And it's all really cool. I'll send you the article here. It's called earthshotprize.org. All right.
That's lovely. So you get $1.2 million for cleaning up the entire earth, the ocean, the plains, and everything else?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not sure how their rating category is. I guess it's sort of like winning the Nobel Prize every time. But it's pretty ambitious. I hope they start spreading the word because, who wouldn't want $1.2 million or 1 million euros? And at the same time, you're helping the planet.
Yeah, I love that. I think that $1.2 million is good for incentive to help people.
I know. I've heard about the plastic rings. So some companies, I forgot which company does it, but a lot of these beer companies and companies that use those six can plastic holders, they're replacing it with something biodegradable now.
Oh, they are? Oh, that's what I was just saying.
I'm glad that they're doing something to make biodegradable type of rings to hold six packs and stuff.
That was the start. I'm pretty sure if he had that prize way back when they first invented it, they would have won the million pound. But yeah. Now they're starting. I think it's just pretty alarming. This year we had so many calamities. I guess 2020 is the year of change in some way. He just launched the prize, maybe because we had so many hurricanes, we had the pandemic. We have the pandemic. We also have like those crazy wildfires that happened in California. So because of that, I guess I figure he thinks that, you know, it's getting pretty bad. We should do something about it. And what better way to get people to do something about it than a prize? You know, 5 prizes, once a year, 5 prizes, which equals £5 million. And one in its per, it's for those 5 categories. And we have 10 years to fix it. So I don't know what their judging criteria is. They have to keep reminding people, but you know, I think it's a great incentive. I don't know if I have any ideas myself, if I wanted to invent something to save the planet. It's mostly, you know, maybe don't drive as much. Maybe there's a filter for cars because that emission produces a lot of waste as well. They do have solutions, but I guess people don't really know much about it. I think the majority of times the issue with pollution and just general things that destroy the earth is because people want to save money. And usually when you go the cheap route, even with your diet, you know, like you eat cheap food, you know, your body doesn't take it too well because the food is cheap, it's not good quality, and then it breaks down. The same thing with the planet. You try to save money and you use like cheap fuel and something really toxic, and that toxin just goes up in the air and destroys the environment. And now we have global warming, you know, the ice caps are melting. But you know, I think this is such a great thing that they're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. It is great. I love that the universe is coming together now. We really need it. We really need to be mindful out there, recycle, and everything. So that's wonderful. I to follow up on that, I have something.
All right.
The European Union, I feel like they are environmental conscious because they are trying to really help the environment. And I just appreciate that. I hope America could bring back more environmental help over here.
Right. And the funny thing is, this was inspired by John F. Kennedy. Oh. And yeah, it was inspired by his moonshot project. And he actually united millions of people around an organization just to have a man put on the moon. So, you know, if you want something that bad and you're that ambitious, it's going to happen, you know, and I guess this is their big ambition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So to follow up on that, we have the Barbara Project, which is in the European Union, and they pretty much try to transfer food byproducts into raw materials. So the amazing thing about this Barbara Project is that, so Barbara Project means biopolymers with advanced functionalities for building and automotive parts processed through additive manufacturing. Every year, the European Union produces 110 million tons of food waste in terms of animal and vegetable. Some of that waste in the form of almond shells is already being used as biofuel. So they're trying to bring all these waste and make products like 3D printing, household items, UE food waste. Most of the food waste is from households, processing, food service, production. And they're really trying to have all these waste and recycle, bring it back to the environment. There is an example of what they do. For example, from lemon, for instance, we can extract a yellow colorant and also some essential oils with the lemon fragrance. They can give both an aroma and also possess useful antibacterial properties to the final product we want to develop. Pomegranate also provides antibacterial elements and wide color range from red to blue, depending on chemical process that we use in the lab. And also, lastly, broccoli gives us a green colorant that's eye-catching, and almond shells, once ground and mixed with bioplastic, can give it texture and look similar to that of wood. So they can use a lot of any product can actually be reprocessed and re-engineered into something that's useful. So that's what the union is doing. I think that's amazing. We have a lot of waste in America. We have a lot of recycled things that we can reuse again. And I just love that the European Union is focusing on waste products.
Europe takes a big effort, I feel, in coming up with better sources of energy, better sources of using the environment to not make as much waste. They also do very good when it comes to medical. Like, they really seem to care about life, for that matter. And kudos to them, I guess.
Yeah.
America gotta step it up. You know, we gotta, sadly, I read magazines sometimes, and I was reading how funding was pulled. It was pulled from some scientific unit, like organizations that were trying to study like viruses. And if we had the funding, maybe we could have got the cure by now. But now they're just scrambling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I love the environmental. I think that America should do a little more about the environment.
Definitely. I mean, just last week we were talking about cardboard beds, right? Yeah. And isn't that amazing? Like, we could actually, like, cardboard is such a mass-produced product that we use. Like, you get it from Amazon, you get so many cardboard boxes, and it's all over in America, but other countries are using it to make useful things like beds, and they're durable and they're strong. And you know, you can just do a lot instead of just throwing it away and having it waste in a landfill.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of landfill and environment, Australia has beautiful little furry news. We have, we are introducing the Tasmanian devils in the mainland of Australia after 3,000 years. In the news, 11 Tasmanian devils has been reintroduced to the mainland in Australia, more than 3,000 years after they died out there.
Wait, they were extinct?
Yes, because another animal called the dingoes ate them and they became extinct. So now we are reintroducing the Tasmanian devil. It reminds me of the cartoon.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Taz.
So, serious question now.
Yeah.
Do they spin around like in the cartoon, like Taz does, and Dizzy and the Tiny Toons?
They look like they walk straight so far.
And they don't spin in circles.
We can go to Australia and try it.
Just catch a Tasmanian devil in action, just spinning around.
Yeah.
I think they got their name. If I'm not mistaken, I was watching some National Geographic show because of the sounds that they make, not so much because they spin. They make like these really crazy, scary, bizarre sounds. So that's how they got the name. But they're actually really gentle, fuzzy little creatures.
Aw, I would love to hear how they sound. You can use them. Maybe if it's creepy enough, you know, you can sample it and use it for like horror movies.
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah, just courtesy by a cute fuzzy animal just made you really scared.
Oh boy. You could make anything to a horror movie. A lot of, you know, I would get scared easily.
Oh yeah, happy October.
Oh. Well, Halloween.
Yeah, it is. I love October. Oh. I love October. It's so great.
Yeah, fall season, and then it gets and then everyone gets like a cool scary fright. Nothing crazy, nothing life altering, just like a nice little jolt.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Tasmanian devils are back, and also they died from a devil facial tumor. I don't know, 90% of them died from that, so that's also another reason why they died in the past. But now we have 25,000 of these Tasmanian devils in Australia. Yay!
So, okay, so I'm reading an article. It's a cancer they had, and it was discovered in 96.
Yeah.
Wow, that's sort of like their little bubonic plague in a way. And now they're just recuperating. Hopefully, maybe a conservatory has been helping them.
Yeah, devil facial tumor disease, DFTD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something in the environment, because tumors are cancerous and they generally come from different things in the environment that cause it. So I wonder if something happened where things got mixed up that just formed a cancerous cell for them, and if they cleaned up something in the environment, since we're on that environment cleaning up topic, if it would go away from them. But don't know.
Yeah, I do wonder that. The devil facial tumor disease. It is, let me see what it is. Definitely a facial cancer, and it killed a large amount. So I don't know, maybe it is the environment.
It's Oh my God, it's contagious too? Ooh. I never heard of cancer being contagious.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's one of three cancers that are contagious. That's pretty sad. But Australia is doing their part, the government. They committed $7.8 million over the 5 years to save the Tasmanian devil. That's a beautiful thing. They're putting their money into the universe, which is great.
Well, that's wonderful. And I see as of February 2009, the population has been growing.
Yeah. So a little more out there. Also in New York State, we have the humpback whales. So more and more humpback whales are showing up in New York City.
Very nice.
Yeah. Welcoming the back whales. I hope that we can see more, because we're right here in New York. We are. So the Hudson River in Manhattan has more whales now coming up and showing its face.
The Hudson River?
Yeah, it says right here, the Hudson River right here, which flows to the west stretch of Manhattan, is a lot cleaner than it was in the past. So it's bringing nutrients out rather than pollution. So I'm just happy to hear that.
Does the Hudson River become fresh water, though, eventually? Like, as it goes upstream? I'm wondering, because I don't think whales could survive in fresh water.
They spotted 3 whales in the area.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, that's so funny. They said the whales come here to eat in New York. They said it was because in 1972, they had the Save the Animals and the Clean Water Act in conjunction, and I guess it's 2020 now. So from 1972 to 2020, that progress to clean the water and save the animals has helped a lot. Now the humpback whales could come and visit New York.
Yay! I want to help too. I just need to learn to swim a little more, and I could just go in the water and help.
Yeah, I'd love to see some humpback whales. I'm always happy to see wildlife and animals. It just feels normal. Like sometimes I walk in the park sometimes and I look around and I'm always looking for animals. So yeah. It was nice to see, especially like I recently went to the park and I haven't seen this many geese in so long. So I don't know if it was due to anything, if it was due to the pandemic, so there's less people and they're all coming out, or things are getting better for the environment. Who knows?
I think it's less people and the environment's just getting cleaner because of the less people. But to slightly drift the topic and keep it on the topic, we make fun of the Hudson River and New York all the time for being polluted. But the one thing New York has out of any state in the country is we have the best water system in the 5 boroughs. Like, the tap water is the cleanest water. The Hudson River is actually not as dirty as people make it out to seem. And that's something we can actually be proud of in New York.
All right, go New York.
Woohoo! Good news. certainly good news. Since Dana couldn't make it, I am going to share what she has to say.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Good News Day. It's Dana here, and I'll be sharing my article, which is about people with Alzheimer's and dementia, which typically happens in the late stage of life when people age to about, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and they tend to develop memory issues. So they're placed into homes or group homes where they're nursing homes, and people that are qualified to work with these individuals help them out through day-to-day activities, because sometimes they'll leave the stove on, sometimes they'll leave their homes and they'll forget where they live, and it's really hard to manage people that have Alzheimer's and dementia. So there is a place in southwestern France, in the city of Dax, which created a community for people with Alzheimer's and dementia, that they can live independently under the needed supervision and under, care of nursing facilities, but they also feel very independent living there. They're giving as much freedom as possible in conditions that allow and help them treat, and they're also given numerous entertainments that make them feel good about themselves, because when you hit that point in your life when you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s and you feel lonely, your quality of health goes down. You don't really want to have the will to live, but a community like this will help them enrich in their lives and possibly grow their lifespan in these facilities. It is a very expensive program. The program for this specific neighborhood costs 6.7 million euros to run each year. But residents and their families kick in about 24,000 of those euros in their annual fees that they pay. But more than half of the total expenses is given by the government because they are looking at the bigger picture. They're also conducting tests on brain development and brain vitality. So it's also giving back to the community, because then they can come up with better treatment options for people in the future. So in a way, it's sort of like, yes, the government is helping them with a large lump sum of money, but it's only helping them in the long run, because then they can find ways to prevent Alzheimer's or delay dementia. So this is a very good program that's taking place in France, and it's also supposed to launch in other parts of Europe, such as the Netherlands, possibly Italy. So it was a really good article, and I really enjoyed reading it, and it made me feel good because it's showing me that there's hope in the world. Rather than just putting older individuals into group homes, you can place them into these care facilities where they'll still feel independent, happy, and will hopefully increase their lifespan and good quality of life. So that's my article for today. Thank you.
That's Dana's article. It's really lovely that France is doing that. They are, to reiterate, the Alzheimer's patients are being in individual communities and having their own individuality. So a lot of money is shelled out in the government, but it's much needed to have quality of life. Thank you, Dana, for that.
I think that's wonderful. And it's just, it just goes to show how important prevention is than trying to find a cure for something. You know, they always tell us, especially for when it comes to health, when it comes to certain things like obesity and taking care of yourself, that it's such a, it was such a big strain on the healthcare system if you didn't take care of yourself. But if you were just, if you just eat right, exercise, you know, basic things like that, then you don't have to go to the doctor, and then you know how the chain of how the whole cycle turns into. The same thing goes with taking care of elderly people and you can prevent dementia by giving them a great quality of life. And therefore free up a lot of nursing homes.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I just think that if there's a will to do that, then do it.
Right. And there's so many great programs out there to help the elderly as well. I remember reading something a while back. I don't know if it's in America. They combined, maybe it was another country. They combined nursing homes with daycares. And it was like the cutest things ever. The elderly were playing with the children at the daycare, and it's just a mutual beneficial situation. Like the elderly are they have something to occupy their mind and feel some kind of joy, and the children have someone to play with.
Yeah. Yeah, so go Europe, because today is about Europe so far, except for the whales, but yeah. Matthew, would you like to share anything?
Sure. I have a nice article that's not science-based, very simple. It's cute. So let's get the cute article going. In Turkey, this guy is doing acting, like street acting, right? So he's playing dead. And this nice dog comes up to him and really is concerned that he's dead. So he comes up and he's trying to comfort him because he thinks he's in pain. And it's just adorable how animals really care about people. And I love it when people care about animals as well. So this dog just kind of jumped in and improvised itself to comforting this person because he thought the guy was hurt and injured. And he wouldn't leave, so he was happy. At first he didn't know what was happening. He thought it was like his fellow actor was coming, because there's supposed to be an actor that comes in for the scene that he's doing. But then he felt like the wet nose, and it was just like, didn't understand what was happening. It's like, was his partner's hand wet? And then he realized it was a dog, and he just felt so joy that his acting really made the dog think that he was really hurt. So for an actor, I guess it's a really good thing to feel like your role is actually believable to people. Like if you really take pride in it. And the dog didn't want to get off of the guy. He just like cuddled up next to him because he thought he was injured. And I just love how nature and humanity kind of can coexist with each other.
Aww.
That's so cute. Definitely man's best friend.
Yeah.
You see the smile on the guy's face.
Oh, you see the dog all cuddled with the guy on the floor.
Yeah, I see that he's a low grade dog. He's well known.
And who's the actor? What is the name of him?
See if I can find it.
Oh, it didn't say. Oh, Uzunsoy.
Newman. Yeah. We'll highlight it.
Newman. I don't know. Your rich girl, Uzunsoy.
We are probably saying that completely wrong. But did a great job. Good job acting. I love the animal, the little dog. That's my article.
Aw, that's but he pretended to be injured. Was he trying to see if someone would help him?
No, it's a script that he's doing with another actor. There's a few actors. Oh, so, I don't know what the whole thing's about, but he's just pretending to be injured. And the dog thought he was actually injured. So the dog comes over, feels his pain, he's nudging on him, and he just kind of huddles up on top of him.
Oh boy, that reminds me. I have to watch that movie, A Street Cat Named Bob. It reminds me of that movie.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah. I saw that and it was amazing.
So cute.
Yeah, it's a little ginger cat that changes a homeless man's life. And you see the journey with the ginger cat. Definitely recommend it.
That's adorable. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sylvie, do you have anything you would like to share?
Sure. Yeah, I have another cute article, I suppose, but very useful, too. It's about a dog. No, it's actually about dogs that are COVID sniffers. So researchers in Finland, they found, I guess they train dogs to detect coronavirus in people within 10 seconds. And it was done in the University of Helsinki, and they were able to identify the virus with nearly 100% accuracy, sometime before the patient had even developed any symptoms. And isn't that amazing? So I guess yes. They're still in the process of testing these dogs out in the meantime, but it's because now, as the research goes now, you won't know if you have the disease until you have symptoms. But But they said 2 days before you had a disease, and those 2 days you were contagious, where you didn't know you could have been walking around without a mask, touching things, sneezing on things, and you know, unknowingly passing on the virus. But with these dogs, I mean, I don't know how you can make, I don't know how they would use these dogs though, because imagine every household had a COVID sniffer dog, right? Then it would be pretty safe. I think it's pretty promising. They're really working their avenues to try to combat this virus.
Yeah.
Oh, they're working in airports at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah, Finnish airports. Yeah, Finland.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yay, dogs to the rescue.
And the rescue dogs, they do so much, and now they're COVID sniffers.
Could the dogs catch COVID or no?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Just because apparently felines can catch COVID. But
oh, yeah.
Dogs' noses are very powerful.
They are.
Okay, they're saying it's because someone who has COVID has a different odor, and the dogs can pick up on that odor.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it's not anything that we could smell, but dogs can smell it because their sense of smell is so strong.
So your odor changes.
It says here, yeah, that COVID-19 is known to infect animals such as mink and cats, but dogs do not have the receptors for the virus. Mm. And they won't get infected.
Oh, that's awesome. Yay.
Amazing. Yeah.
Good news.
That's a really good thing. Dogs also can sniff out cancer on people in early stages.
They can?
Yeah, they've been trying to do studies on it. And a lot of times dogs are able to pick up when people have cancer before even medical things can pick it up. Because we have a certain odor that comes out of us.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Here I thought it would be cats, because I don't know if you've heard about the cat that with, I guess, 90, in the high 90s, this cat named Oscar, he would visit patients in a terminally ill ward. And if he visited you, there's a 99% chance that you're next to die.
Oh no.
Yeah, but he goes there to comfort you, but I don't know if he goes there to comfort you, but he knows that you're gonna die, because I think the theory is that cats could pick up these certain smells, and they know they could pick up like decay before you even die.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Animals are precious.
Yeah, they're very powerful. Yeah. So going back to the dog article, so they are being employed. Right now, they have these COVID sniffer dogs in airports now. Ah. They're putting to work 16 dogs, and one is going to Dubai.
Aw. Well, yeah. As long as they're safe, I'm good.
Yep, yeah, they're safe. It's a shame about cats. I'm pretty sure they would be good COVID catchers. They're pretty sensitive to smell as well, but we wouldn't want our cats catching COVID because they can catch it.
Nah, they could, I think. But yeah, definitely not. Well, thank you so much for the lovely articles here at Good News. I hope everyone enjoyed our good news for today. And I hope everyone has a great week, day, and every moment of your life. And I will leave everybody off with a quote. This quote is from Dana, actually. She sent a beautiful quote to us to light up your day and evening and week. This quote is from Mandy Hale, and it says, "You don't always need a plan. Sometimes you just need to breathe. Trust, let go, and see what happens."